singing together the hymn or the psalm 8, the psalm 8 on page 8 of our hymn book, and we're singing the first version of the psalm. How excellent in all the earth, Lord, our Lord, is thy name, who hast thy glory far advanced above the starry frame. The psalm 8, we're standing and we're singing verse 1 to the end of verse 5. Let us just bow together in a word of prayer. Let us ask for the Lord's presence with us here this Sabbath morning. Let us each lift up our hearts and wait upon the Lord. Our gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege that is ours of gathering here on this first Sabbath of a new year. We thank thee that thou hast drawn us into thy courts to worship thy name. And as we gather at thy feet, we can say, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And Lord, we rejoice that we can go much farther, that we can say thy name is excellent to us. We thank thee that when we were sinking in sin, that thou didst reach down thy mighty hand, lifted us out of our sin, and set us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We thank thee that we can look back and we can say that thou hast guided our footsteps and that thou hast provided for our every need. We thank you, Lord, for the liberty that we have in this land to gather in this fashion, that we can open up thy word. We can read it publicly. We can read it in our own homes. And we thank thee that thou hast given to us the Spirit of God to give us understanding and to teach us from thy word. And so, Lord, we gather this morning praying that thou wouldst meet with us, that thou wouldst prepare our hearts, and that thou wouldst feed us upon thy precious word, that thou wouldst give us grace not to rebel against thy truth, but to submit and to do whatsoever thou wouldst command us to do. And we thank you for the Sabbath school this morning, for the boys and girls that have been gathered in, for teachers who've opened up the book and have taught them. And we pray that thy word might bring forth a glorious harvest even in their lives. We cry to thee the same for this meeting. Take away now the thoughts and fears of tomorrow. Settle us in thy presence. We pray that you would help us to worship thee in song. And Lord, speak to our hearts through thy precious word, we ask this morning. And we are mindful as we gather today, there are those who are not able to be with us, those who because of age can't come any longer to the house of God. There are those whose bodies are weak and who are going through sickness, and we pray, draw near to them. Oh God, we thank thee that thou art not a Savior who is afar, but one who is near to us in our troubles and in our trials. And so be with them and undertake for them. Bless us this morning as we gather here, for we ask these things in thy name and for thy honor. Amen. Amen. We're turning to our hymn books again. We're turning to the hymn 314, the hymn 314, My Happy Soul Rejoices. The sky is bright above. I'll join the heavenly voices and sing redeeming love. The hymn 314 will stand again while we sing. We're turning in our Bibles this morning to the Gospel according to Luke and to the chapter 10. The Gospel of Luke, the chapter 10, and we're going to break into that chapter at the verse 23. It's good to have God's Word, and we read there verse 23. And he turned unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou answerest right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Amen. We know that God will bless the reading of his own precious truth to each of our hearts. This stage we're going to ask our brother, Mr. Todd, to come and to make the announcements for the incoming week.
Well, good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to this first Sunday in the new year to our service here. And we trust that the Lord will bless us, even as we have come to praise him for what he has done for us in the year that has passed, and to look to him for the year that is still ahead. I'd like to give a very warm welcome to you who have joined with us online. May the Lord bless you also, and may I wish you a very happy new year as you worship with us today. Just a reminder that this morning we will be holding communion around the Lord's table following this morning's service, and all who are saved and walking with the Lord are very welcome to stay and to join with us for that communion service. Our evening service is at 7 p.m. Everyone's invited back again tonight, and that's preceded by a time of prayer in the committee room at 6:15. The midweek meeting this week will be at 8 p.m. The speaker will be our own minister, the Reverend Murray. And the Beeline Children's Meeting recommences this Wednesday, following the Christmas break. Meeting will begin at 7 p.m., and the guest speaker this Wednesday is Mr. Gary Craig. The buses will be out to collect the children as usual, and all children will be made most welcome at that meeting. There are still some of the new Beeline 2024 calendars sitting on the hall table there, so please feel free to lift one of those on your way out. Next Lord's Day, the Sunday School and Bible class will be at 10:30. Services next Lord's Day will be at 11:30 and 7 p.m. with times of prayer in the committee room beforehand. Also next Lord's Day, there will be a youth fellowship meeting following the evening service, and that's at 8:15 sharp. I had announced this last week, I'll just announce it again, that Hebron Free Presbyterian Church are holding their annual Missionary Convention weekend this Friday, that's the 12th of January, to Sunday the 14th of January. And you can find out more information about that on the poster that's on the notice board in the hall. We here will be having our annual January week of prayer during the week beginning Monday the 15th of January. So there will be a prayer time on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday and Friday that week. Monday, Thursday and Friday, the meeting will be from 8 to 9. Tuesday will be our normal midweek meeting at 8 p.m. There will be no prayer meeting on Wednesday as the church is used by the Beeline meeting. The retiring offering for Let the Bible Speak this month came to £336.10. And again, we'd like to thank those who support that Let the Bible Speak work. The deputation meeting last Tuesday was taken by Mr. David McCauley, and the offering lifted at that meeting came to £466 in support of our brother. And again, I'd like to thank you for supporting those who go out on missionary work, especially to foreign lands. There is a leaflet sitting on the hall table here. I didn't announce it last week, but I'll just announce it this week. There's a Free Presbyterian International Congress this year from July the 1st to the 5th. It's held in the Martyrs Memorial Church. And if you're interested in that, there will be various speakers, some from the US speaking at that. If you're interested, I'm sure they'll be glad to see you along at those meetings. There's more information on the leaflet itself if you'd like to lift one on your way out. These are all the announcements. Thank you.
Do thank our brother for making those announcements, and we trust you'll remember those various meetings. Also give you a very warm welcome along to the house of God this morning. Could I also wish you a very happy and blessed year. Do remember the service tonight. I want to take as my subject great mercy from a great mercy, a great master, great mercy from a great master, and that is tonight at 7 p.m. Also do remember that this incoming week is our minister's week of prayer. Every year our presbytery leaves aside a week at the beginning of January whereby our ministers can gather to spend the week in prayer before the Lord. This year is being held down in Armagh, and we trust you'll remember us even as we gather there for those seasons of prayer. The hymn 465, we're keeping our seats while the offering is being lifted. What a fellowship, what a joy divine.
Oh,
We're turning our Bibles this morning to Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, the Gospel according to Luke, the chapter 10. And with our Bibles before us, you didn't get standing to sing, so we'll get you to stand while we pray. So we'll stand to our feet for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that He is our refuge in the time of storms. And we thank Thee that when we are weak, that we can lean upon Him. And we find in Him strength and wisdom and help. And Lord, and we pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst help us to search the Scriptures so that we might, in every given situation and in every relationship, know how we should live and act. So to that end, I ask Thee now for help. Pour out Thy Spirit upon us and be our strength, for we pray in Thy name and for Thy glory. Amen. Amen. We have been, for some weeks, looking at relationships and responsibilities. And we have looked at those relationships within the home between husbands, wives, and children. We have looked beyond the home to our relationship and our responsibilities, even in society, to government and to other bodies. And this morning we're coming to look at what the Scripture has to say in regard to our relationship with our neighbors and our responsibility even to our neighbors as well. The Word of God is truth and it's very practical, and it gives us good guidance as how to even to be a good neighbor in society. So we're turning this morning in our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, the chapter 10, and I want to draw your attention to all the verses we read together, but we'll read again the verse 27. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, and the verse 27. And he, answering, said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." In this chapter, we find a certain lawyer rudely interrupting the Savior. He's studying the ancient manuscripts. He was lifted up with a sense of his own importance. He imagining that he could defeat or at least embarrass the Savior, he asked him how he might gain eternal life. The Lord answering his question with a question, he asked him what the law stated. The lawyer, imagining he was smarter than the Savior, he glibly tossed back to passages from the Mosaic law. In so doing, he stated that we should love the Lord our God with all of our hearts and with all of our souls and with all of our strength. And more than that, we should love our neighbors as ourselves. This command to love our neighbor is first mentioned away back in Leviticus chapter 19 and in the verse 18. It is repeated again and again in the pages of the New Testament. In fact, in Matthew 22 verse 39, we are told that it is the second and the second greatest of all the commandments, second only to the command to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts. In other words, while they were to love their neighbor, they were firstly to love the Lord. And more than that, they were to love Him with an even greater love. You see, loving God is not merely something which is summoned, but it is something which must be supreme. We must love Him more and before every neighbor. Surely the implication here is that if they love the Lord their God with all of their hearts, with all of their soul, with all of their strength and all of their minds, then they would love their neighbors as themselves. The one would flow from the other. You see, where there is a loving of the Lord, there will also be a loving of our neighbor, a genuine concern for those around us. In fact, the Apostle John, who was known as the Apostle of Love, he said in 1 John chapter 4 and the verse 8, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And going on in the verse 20, he tells us that if any man says that he loves God, and yet he hates his own brother, he is a liar. In fact, in Titus verse 3, we're told that malice and hating one another are characteristics of a life that does not love God. You see, true, genuine love is infectious. Where there is a genuine love for our sovereign or for our Savior, then there will also be a love for others in society. We will have a love for our neighbor. I remember hearing about a woman, and she was taken very ill, and in those days you could get an appointment with your doctor, and she went along to see her doctor. And the doctor examining her, he told her then to sit down. "I've got very bad news for you," he said. "I'm sorry, but I have to tell you that you have got rabies." The woman, hearing that news, she immediately grabbed for a pen and a piece of paper, and she began to write. The doctor, being concerned, he looked over at her, and he said, "Are you writing your will?" She said, "No, I'm writing a list of the people that I'm going to bite." And there are some people in society, and they are very hard to love. C.W. Vandenberg wrote, "To love the whole world for me is no chore. My only real problem is my neighbor next door." And there are some people in society, and they're very, very hard to love. When they're having a row with their wife at 3 o'clock in the morning, or they are having a party, it's very difficult to feel any love or concern for them. However, God is love. And the more we love Him, and the more we allow that love to fill and to control our hearts, the more we will love. You see, if we love God, then we will love. We will love our neighbor. In fact, child of God, this morning you could test your love for God by testing your love for your neighbor. Because if you have no love for your neighbor, then you have no love for God. If we love God, we'll love our neighbor. And the more we love God, the greater love we'll have for our neighbor. Not only the precept, but notice the people. Look at verse 27. "And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." And then at the end of the verse, "and thy neighbor as thyself." The word neighbor comes from an old Anglo-Saxon word meaning near, and boer, or farmer. And as such, your neighbor was originally the man whose field was next to your field. However, going on to define the term, the Lord in the subsequent parable describes the Samaritan here as their neighbor. Of course, you know this morning that the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. They despised and they hated each other. And as such, he was reminding them that even their neighbors, that even their enemies, those that they hated, that they were their neighbors. You see, in a sense, every human being is our neighbor. As well as loving our friends, we are called to love our foes. Indeed, taking up this command, the Jews altered it in a threefold way. They confined it to their race. They also left out the word thyself. And more than that, they added the words, hate thine enemies. However, the Lord Jesus rebuking them, he said in Matthew 5, verse 44, "But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." You see, our love must not be limited by class or by creed or even by country, as well as loving those who are lovable, we are called by God to love those who are unlovable. Catherine Booth, the mother of the Salvation Army, speaking on one occasion to a large crowd of paupers and harlots, many were convicted and many were gloriously saved. After the meeting, she was asked back for afternoon tea by the lady of the manor. And the woman, turning to Mrs. Booth, she said, "Mrs. Booth, that was a dreadful meeting. Their faces were so terrible. I don't think I shall sleep tonight." Mrs. Booth asking her if she knew them, the woman saying, "Certainly not." Mrs. Booth then said, "Well, that's interesting. I did not bring them with me from London. They are your neighbors." And there are people out there in society today, and there's absolutely nothing lovable about them. Might we think of the blasphemer who can say two words without taking the name of God in vain? We think of the drunkard. We think even of the pedophile. And while we must always turn our faces against their sin, we cannot turn our hearts against them. In the parable of the wedding feast, the Lord did not limit his hospitality to his friends. But you'll remember he invited the poor, the lame, and the blind. You see, every man in this sense is our neighbor. And that person, they may not be a very nice person. And they may live a life that is contrary to everything that we believe in. But nevertheless, we're to have a love in our hearts. To have love in our hearts for them. We should have a concern about them. And we should have an interest even to be a neighbor. And to even to seek to help them. Not only the people, but notice the proof. The Samaritan, loving his neighbor, we read in verse 34, "And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him." Just prior to speaking this parable, Herod the Great had dismissed over 40,000 men involved in the rebuilding of the temple. They being destitute, many of them turning to lives of crime, they hid in caves and dens along the Jericho road. And some of these men, falling upon this man, they not only stripped him of his robes, but they smote him. And the good Samaritan, beholding him and being moved with compassion, he, unlike the Levite and unlike the priest, he was unable to pass by on the other side. And stooping down, he washed, he anointed his wounds, and then he bandaged them. You see, whatever love is, it most certainly is not passive. It expends itself upon others. Indeed, the Lord, urging his hearers to love one another, he said in John 15, verse 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man laid down his life for his friends." And he said that if a man truly loved his friend, then he would not be passive, but he would be willing to lay down his life for him. However, the Lord Jesus Christ, going farther than that, he not only laid down his life for his friends, but he laid down his life for his foes. He laid down his life for those who hated him. True love is not a philosophy, but it is a practice. Rather than saying, "Give me," it says, "Let me give you." Gladys Allward, beholding the plight of babies in China whose feet were bound by tight bandages and become deformed, and being concerned not only for their physical well-being, but being concerned for their spiritual well-being, she was unable to live in comfort in England. Although no missionary society would touch her with a barge pole, they all turned down her application, yet she still could not stay in England. rising up. She at her own expense traveled across Europe, and she traveled across Russia, and she came into China. And at great personal risk, she rescuing many little children, she brought them into her home, and she unbandaged the girls' feet, and she fed them, and she cared for them, and she told them of the love of Jesus Christ. You see, true love, unlike the priest and unlike the Levite, does not pass by on the other side. If you love your neighbor, it'll stir your feet. It'll stir your hands. It'll stir your tongue, even to help them. Love is not passive. Love is not inactive. If we love, then like this Samaritan, we can't pass by on the other side. But we must help. We must reach out to them. You see, believer, today we have a duty to our neighbor. We're to have a love for those in society, a concern for them. This is a command, the command to love. We're to love our neighbor. We're to love them as ourselves. Also, I want you to notice the consequence of love. We loving ourselves, we would never do anything to hurt or to destroy our own bodies. And as such, in loving our neighbors as ourselves, we are to provide for our neighbors. The Samaritan, seeing this man naked and wounded, we read in verse 34, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. This man coming down from Jerusalem, he was probably coming down from offering up the morning sacrifice, and he being attacked along the way and seriously wounded, the good Samaritan not only bathed and bandaged his wounds, but we find him then taking him and putting him on his own beast. He bringing him to an inn, he then reached into his pocket and he gave to the innkeeper money to provide and to look after him. You see, loving him as he loved his own body, he cared and he nourished him. Loving our neighbor, we are to care not only for their souls, but we're to care for their bodies. As well as their spiritual needs, we should seek to meet their physical or to meet their material needs. Indeed, the Apostle John, taking up the subject, he said in 1 John 3, verse 17, but whoso hath this world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? He hardening his heart to his brother's needs and turning away his eye and shutting his hand, John said the love of God is not in that individual's heart. Real love is more than words. Real love reaches out in works. It seeks to put shoes on the shoeless, and it seeks to put food in the belly of the hungry. Years ago, liberals replacing the message of the gospel with a social gospel. My, they felt that their only responsibility in life was to feed the poor. Sadly, some fundamentalists reacting and going in the opposite direction, they forgot that social aspect. However, as well as feeding men's souls with the Word of God, we have a responsibility to fill their stomachs, to fill their mouths. A little boy one day walked many miles across the city to attend one of D.L. Moody's Sunday schools. Someone asked the little lad, why did you travel so far to come to this particular school? He said, because I love a little fella here. And you see, the world doesn't really care what we think or what we believe until they know that we care for them. Until we care for them. We have a responsibility to help those who are in need. This Samaritan couldn't pass by. He bandaged his wounds. He put food on his table and he sought to help him. And we have that responsibility even in society. But not only are we to provide for our neighbor, we are to pray for our neighbor. Taking up the subject again in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord said in Matthew 5, verse 44, love unto love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. The word bless here means to speak well of or to speak to. You see, as well as speaking well of them and even speaking to them, he reminds them they also the responsibility to speak to God about them. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ, fulfilling his own words, he coming to the cross, he lifting up his voice, he cried, Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He prayed for those who had just drove the nails through his hands and who had crucified him. You see, as well as providing for our neighbor, we are to be praying for our neighbor. We are to be pleading their cause before our Heavenly Father's throne. Indeed, Paul, taking up the subject again and writing to young Timothy, he said in 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, I exhort therefore that, first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men. Underline there the words, first of all. In other words, Paul was writing to Timothy. He said, now, Timothy, get your priorities right. Here's your first duty in life. Here's your first duty in life. Before everything else, Timothy, it is to pray. And not only was he to pray for kings who at this time were persecuting the church, but he was to pray for all men. We have a responsibility not only to pray for our friends, but we have a responsibility to pray for our foes, to plead their cause before our Father's throne. I remember a man many years ago coming and saying to me, "My, you should never pray for sinners to be saved." He said, there's not a single example in the whole of Scripture where we have someone praying for the salvation of souls. You shouldn't pray for sinners. Well, Paul said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And believer, here's our responsibility to our neighbor. We're to provide for them, but more than that, we're to pray for them. And I wonder, when last did you pray for your neighbor? When last did you get upon your knees and lift up your voice and pray for your neighbor? Lord, save my neighbor. Lord, open his heart. Lord, bring him or her to the cross. Not only to pray for our neighbor, but we are to preach to our neighbor. The Lord speaking to John's disciples, he said in Matthew 11, verse 5, the poor have the gospel preached to them. You see, as well as feeding the 5,000 miraculously, the Lord preached the gospel to them. And as well as feeding the body, there must be a feeding of men and women's souls. William Booth not only gave to those who came into his shelters my soup and a bun and something to drink, but he gave them the gospel. He told them of Christ who went to the cross. He told them of the one who shed his blood that they might be saved. And it's very tempting in life to become like a little island and say, here am I. But we don't live alone. We don't live on our own. We have responsibilities around to our neighbors. We're to provide for them. We're to, if necessary, we're to preach to them. We're to pray for them. In the day of judgment, we will be asked, have we fulfilled our responsibilities? even to our neighbor. That's where our mission in life starts. It doesn't start in the mission field. It starts with our neighbors. It starts with our neighbors. But lastly, I want you to notice the character of love. Love entering into the heart. I want you to notice it is powerful. Look at verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. This Samaritan could have excused himself from helping this wounded man by saying, there may be other robbers still in the area. In fact, he could have argued, they're just using this man as a decoy in order to trap me. And no doubt the thought would have entered into his mind, if the shoe was on the other foot, would this wounded man stop to help me, who am a Samaritan? However, love filling his heart, it overcome every fear. It overcame every obstacle, and he helped him. True love does not see obstacles. True love only sees opportunities. It overcomes every difficulty. You say, I'd like to help my neighbor, but there are too many problems, too many difficulties. There's too much water has gone under the bridge. There is no problem that love does not overcome. That is outward overcoming, loving God and loving the souls of those in China. There was nothing could stop her. Not even the discouragements of God's people. Nothing could stop her in getting to the land of China and of seeking to rescue those children. You see, if we love, love will overcome every obstacle. If we really love our neighbors as ourselves, we'll overcome every barrier. We'll not be halted. Also, it is patient. Look at verse 35. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. As well as binding up his wounds and bringing him to an inn, he then paid for his keep. And he eventually, leaving the man, he said, look, I'll come back, and if he has worked up a bill, I'll pay the bill. You see, he didn't just help the man that day. He persevered in his love. He persevered in his care. True love is patient. It suffers long. Martin Luther, unlike most people of his day, had a great love for the Jewish people. He saw the Reformation as an opportunity whereby he could win many of them to the Savior. However, they didn't respond as quickly as he had hoped. And as a result, Martin Luther turned against them. And his love for the Jews was replaced by a bitterness. His patience ran out. And I say to you, never give up. Keep loving. Keep laboring. That person may disappoint you, and they may disappoint you many different ways and many different times. But keep loving them. The Samaritan not only helped him, but he left money, and he said, I'll come back and pay any other money that is owed. Lord, true love perseveres. True love doesn't give up. Also notice, finally, it is praise. Because look at verse 36. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And then telling the parable, the Lord here was not merely condemning the priest and the Levite. He was commending the Samaritan. Love is rewarded. It will bring the well done of the Lord. You want his well done. Then I say to you, child of God, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, with all of your mind. Love him before everything else. Put him first. Give him priority in your life. And then love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as you would love yourself. Treat your neighbor as you would treat yourself. The love of God is infectious. Loving him, we will then love his neighbor. We love our neighbor and we'll seek to help them. And could I say today, if you're here and you do not love the Lord, the God, with all of your heart, could I say to you today, open your heart. He loved you. He sent his son to die for you, to shed his blood on Calvary's cross to redeem you from your sin. And I trust today that you'll let that love enter into your heart, that you'll trust him. And if you love him and let his love fill your heart, then, my friend, loving your neighbor will not be a chore. It will come even easily. Oh, may we be good servants, loving God first and foremost, and then loving our neighbor as we would love ourselves. Let's just bow together in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the word of God. We thank thee for the love of God. We thank thee for that day when we fell at the foot of the cross and our hearts were opened and we knew and experienced thy love. Our lives were changed. And we thank thee, Lord, for that glorious transformation. And we pray that if there are those today and they've never experienced thy love, that even this day that they might open up their hearts and invite thee in. Even, Lord, as we come shortly around thy table, help us to remember even the depths and breadths and heights of thy love. And help us, Lord, to love thee first, to love thee with all of our hearts, and then to love our neighbors, even as ourselves. So be with us even in the closing moments of this service, for I pray in thy name and for thy glory. Amen. Amen. We're turning, in closing the service this morning, to the hymn 440. The hymn 440, Teach Me Thy Way, O Lord, teach me thy way. Thy gracious aid afford, teach me thy way. The hymn 440 will stand while we sing. I will be going to the door during the second verse. And if you're not able to remain with us around the Lord's table, then feel free just to leave at that stage of the service. Hymn 440 will stand while we sing.